that we have is the opportunity to go to heaven being Christians. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to take great advantage of this, but there's a lack of this. We have people today that just don't seem to be that interested in going to heaven. And we need to make every possible thing that we can do to go to heaven. Because once we are dead, it'll be too late from that day forward. There won't be no saying, well, Lord, give me another chance. We saw the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man wanted Lazarus to be sent back to warn his family, but it was too late. They had already had their opportunity. While we do not long for heaven, if you would take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 4. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed unto with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for we would be under clothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So we need to be making every preparation we can to make it to heaven. Part of the reason that people have a lack of interest or don't want to go to heaven is a lack of interest. Luke 8:14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. We know that this comes from the parable of the sower. Jesus was telling this story to show them what the differences in the soil was. And this was the ones that fell among the thorns and were choked out. An invitation extended. We all have an invitation extended. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that not a comforting statement? Does that not just make you want to come and rest in the arms of our Lord and Savior? To know that we can lay our burdens on Him, and He will give us rest. What about Revelation 22:17? And the Spirit and the Bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It is being offered freely. There is no charge for this. All you have to do is obey. An invitation rejected. Luke 14:15-24. We know that there was a great supper made here. And when the master of the house sent his servant out to bid everyone to come to the great supper, they started making excuses. What do you think it's going to be like on Judgment Day? You think Jesus is not going to start hearing a lot of excuses? Why? That they couldn't do what they were supposed to do here on this earth? What about Matthew 22:1-4? For many are called, but few are chosen. We have to do what's right in order to go to heaven. Psalms 106:24. They despiseth the pleasant land and believe not the word of the Lord. Psalms 106:24. We don't need to despise the promised land, the what is coming in heaven, because it's going to be a great and glorious thing. Some are due because of lack of investigation. When we desire to go somewhere, we usually spend time beforehand investigating it. When we get ready to take a trip, most of us nowadays, we end up getting on the internet and we type in where we're going to see how much it may cost to get there, how long it's going to take us to get there. And we do what we have to make all the plans that we need to get there. We do all the investigations. You notice here's wonderful World of Disney. So many people go there every day, but they do investigations to see how much it costs. You know, what rides are available, if they're going to be able to get into a hotel in the area. So we need to be investigating as well. A lack of investigation, 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. God has revealed heaven to us. He's told us what it's going to be like. He showed it to us. We don't have a physical picture, but when people tell you about what something looks like or what something is, you get a picture in your head what it's going to be like. And through the Bible, God has revealed it to us. John 14:1-3. Heaven is where Jesus is. We talked about this morning, or Tommy did when he did the Lord's Supper, about all that Jesus did for us. You know, I'd like to be in heaven one day and be able to say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Because it's been a great and glorious thing that you've done. And now I'm here with you for all of eternity. Won't that be great and glorious? Amen. Revelation 21:2. Heaven is a prepared place. It isn't something that just happened. It's prepared. You know what happens? Most of us have had Thanksgiving this week. When you had company over, did you not clean up the house? Did you not prepare the house? Did you not prepare a meal? Did you not get ready for the company that was coming over? You prepared it. John 14:2-3. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. That's also another great statement, is it not? To know that Jesus is preparing a place for us. Matthew 25:34. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You know, to inherit it, we must be heirs. We must be children. In order to be children, we must obey. We must become Christians. Hebrews 11:6. For he hath prepared for them a city. We're going to the greatest city that could ever be. It's in heaven. Revelation 21. Heaven is a purged place. This is in verse 4. Revelation 21:4. It is purged of death. We don't have to worry about dying anymore when we get to heaven. It's purged of sorrow. We won't have to worry about sorrow anymore. Purged of crying. We won't have to cry. Won't be no need for it. Nor pain. You know, I've said this before. Won't that be a great thing when we get up there and old joints that are aching now, they don't ache no more. And man, we can jump up like we was 5 years old again and move around without hurting and without I'm sure Hans can relate to this, you know, with his back surgery. So we won't have any of these. Heaven will be purged of all of these things. Revelation 21, verse 8. Heaven is an unpolluted place. There will be no pollution there. You know, I've talked before about being in Walmart or being in Fred Meyer's, and I hear people using foul language, and boy, I just cringe when I hear them say it, but, you know, it's public, you know, they say whatever they want to. It's not like it was 50 years ago where people had some morals about them and they actually tried to restrain themselves. Revelation 21, verses 10 and 11. Heaven is a precious place. Think about having something in your life that is so precious to you that you really want to treat it as being precious. That's what heaven is. Heaven is a protected place. Verse 12. You know, we think about living in the United States. We have one of the most powerful and dominating armies in the world. But yet we still have to worry about threats from other places. Heaven, we won't have to worry about it anymore. We will be as secure as we could ever possibly imagine. When is the last time you conducted a personal investigation of heaven? Do you pick your Bible up? Do you investigate? Do you look? Do you study? You know, Tom was talking about our men's training class this month is going to be on how to study the Bible. And it's something that each and every person needs to do daily. We need to be feeding ourselves. My longing for heaven will be reflected by my level of interest. You know, if you're not interested in something, are you going to do something? You know, how many times have y'all heard me say, how do you get up on Sunday morning? You get up and you say, man, I got to go to church this morning. Man, I can't wait till it's over. Or do we get up and we say, yay, it's Sunday. I can't wait to get to church and see all my brothers and sisters. I get to praise God. What is your level of interest? My level of investigation. Once again, here we're talking about investigating. You know, we have the Bible that tells us all we need to know. The inspired Word of God tells us what heaven's like, what we must do to get there. You know, if I was sending you on a trip somewhere, and I gave you a plane ticket to go somewhere, and you got on the wrong airline, or you showed up on the wrong day, or do you think you would get to where you're going? You're not. You got to follow what the instructions are. My level of investment. You know, we have to invest in going into heaven. We can't just wake up and it just happen. We have to invest in it. There's things that we must do in order to get to heaven. Can you honestly say you long for heaven? A lack of investment. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, if your treasure's laid up here on earth, guess where your heart is? It's here on earth. But if our treasures are laid up in heaven, that's where we're going to long to be, and that's where our heart's going to be, is in heaven. What about investing our time? Most people think that they can just give the minimum amount of time and it's going to be all right. We talked about this before. We offer Bible study on Sunday morning. Our Bible study, our Bible classes on Sunday morning should look just like this. Shouldn't be any fluctuation. Sunday night, hey, all the same faces. But it's not. You can see the lack of time that people have spent. 2 Timothy 1:12. Put me into the ministry. That's what Paul says. Also 2 Timothy 2:15. Do we really want to occupy the time and invest the time in being put into the ministry? What about 1 Corinthians 15:58? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That takes time. That takes investing in time. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, Ed and I talk about this sometimes. We get discouraged sometimes because, you know, things just don't grow like we want it to grow. But when you put that seed in the ground and you water it, no matter how much you want that plant to grow, God's in control of that. All we can do is plant and water. Amen. God's going to give the increase. What about investing our talents? There are many men here in this congregation and women as well that have talents. And when I say women, we have classes for the young people, young children that are under the age of accountability that need help. They need to be taught. If you have the talents to be a teacher, you need to be using them. Romans 16:3 through 4. Aquila and Priscilla laid down their necks. Are we willing to lay down our necks? If we thought we were going to lose our lives for Christianity, would we still be a Christian? Or would we say, no, we're going to change? We're going to give up Christianity because, you know, it's too high to risk. There again, it goes back to where you've laid your treasures up. 1 Corinthians 16:15. Stephanus' household was addicted themselves to the work of the church. And it actually uses the word addicted. You know, most of the time when we use that word addicted in this day and age, it's in a bad sense. Someone's addicted to alcohol, or someone's addicted to drugs, or addicted to this or that. Is not the church the best thing we could ever be addicted to? Is it not something that we could boast about and say, that's the greatest thing that I've ever been addicted to in my life? And that's the church, the Christianity. How about our treasures? Malachi 1:6-14. Malachi 1:6-14. This is only a small part of it. But here it's talking about robbing God of what is God's. But this is part of the verse, and it says, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? When we get to heaven, this is one of the questions that we need to be asking ourselves. Will God be pleased with us, or will he accept us as the person that we are? Malachi 3:8-12. Whosoever complained about giving too much to the Lord and receiving too little in return. We need to be aware of this. God has done everything for us. He created the world. He gave us physical life. He gave us spiritual life. He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to live and die on this earth so we can have forgiveness of our sins. Does that not sound like He did a whole lot for us? And yet we still think He deserves to give us more. What must I do to go to heaven? We've been talking about that all morning. Do you have the like and the desire to go to heaven? You must hear the gospel and believe in Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You've heard the gospel this morning. You must believe or you wouldn't be here. But you got to believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God. You must repent of your sins, Acts 17:30. And what do we mean when we talk about repenting of our sins? Is if we're heading towards the world, we got to do an about face and head towards God. We got to turn away from the sinful world. You know, Lot's wife, when Lot was told to leave Sodom, they were commanded not to look back. Lot's wife had to look back. We know that she was turned into a pillar of salt. When we repent of our sins, we don't need to be looking back anymore. We need to be looking forward to heaven. Confess my faith. Romans 10:10. We need to confess. Be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. When we talk about baptism, we're talking about immersion. We have a baptistry right here that won't take no time to set up. And part of what being baptized in is being buried and raised with Him. We have to be completely immersed. I don't know anybody that's had a handful of dirt poured on top of them to be buried. Most people were completely covered when they were buried. So in order to be buried, we had to be immersed. Then we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 10:22. Some of y'all may be sitting out there saying, well, Brother Sam, that's just more than I can handle. I don't think I can stay faithful to the end till my death. Hey, God knew this. God sent Jesus Christ here to live and die. Jesus knows the sins and temptations that are put before us. But when we fail and we fall and we sin, all we have to do is repent of those sins and ask God for forgiveness. And when we say repentance, like I said a while ago, we got to turn from them. Go the opposite direction. If we do those things, we're going to get to heaven. And won't it be a great and glorious thing when we all get there and we can spend all of eternity together, never have to depart? So I've said before and I'll say it again this morning, you better like the people you're sitting on the pews around, because you're going to have to spend all of eternity if we make it to heaven. So think about that. If you're above the age of accountability and you've never put on Christ in baptism, you need to do that or you're never going to make it to heaven. You got to get on that path, on that road. If you're a Christian but you hadn't been living a life like a Christian should, you hadn't made the investments, you hadn't done the investigating, the work that you need to do to be a good, faithful Christian, now's your time to get your life right. If we can help you any way spiritually this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.